In the studio here, I am joined by Akol Nyok Akol, who is an economist. It's your first time to be here in our studio, I guess. Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Mirai.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Happy 10th anniversary.
Happy 10th anniversary. It's a pleasure.
Okay. You are an economist and following the events this morning by the president, the speech of the president in his office that was broadcast live, he mentioned three things which we want us to look at plus other issues. He said, he has directed the Ministry of Petroleum and the Ministry of Finance to set aside 20,000 barrels of crude oil, the Nile Brent, for development. That's the road. And he also mentioned again, he directed the Ministry of Finance to ensure that 5,000 barrels of crude oil is set aside to improve the payment of civil servants. He also announced the increment of salaries of civil servants by 100% and should be immediately. First of all, what is your take on all this as an economist?
First and foremost, I think the most important thing for development is infrastructure. South Sudan is a blessed country. It's blessed with an abundance of resources. Every state, county, and Payam has resources. So when you have road networks across the country, now people can trade. You're going to start seeing intra-country trade. Like now people in Upper Nile can trade. People in Eastern Equatoria, people in Western Equatoria can go to Jonglei. That's very important. And I think infrastructure is necessary for the development of any society. Second, I think the issue of civil servants is a problem that the president is addressing in his speech. The salary of civil servants has not been adjusted since 2011. Yeah. This is due in part to the devaluation of the South Sudanese pound. So what the president essentially wants to do is that they want to come up with a way to ensure that civil servant salary are giving a living wage. Because right now, some people are receiving 3,000 SSP.
Yeah. Even 1,500.
Yeah. And the market rate now is almost 400. Yeah. So that's a monthly salary. It's not going to do nothing. So this can actually benefit the economy because you can put money into these government employees and they're going to go and spend. And they're going to spend this money in the economy, which is going to increase revenue for businesses and commercial entities.
So would you say this is a boost to the economic growth of our country?
It's a boost to the economic growth. It's a boost because when you increase the salaries and these employees are paid in pounds, they're going to go spend this money. They're going to go buy milk. They're going to go buy food. They're going to go to restaurants. They're going to buy airtime. They're going to send money to the village. They're going to do all these things. The money is going to circulate within the economy.
Yeah.
And it's going to create economic activity. Because sometimes in an economy, when people have money, they don't spend. The economy stagnates.
Yeah.
In some countries, the central bank can even slow down economic growth or encourage economic growth. South Sudan needs to encourage economic growth. We need to get people to spend more, to get people to now to inject money in the economy.
Okay. As an economist, how would you describe the economic activities of South Sudan in the last 10 years?
Mm-hmm. I think since 2011, July, when we received our independence, South Sudan has a lot of potential. The economic activity has been just relegated to one commodity, which is the crude oil exportation. And obviously, due to conflict in 2013, the only oil that was being produced from 2013 till 2018 was the DAR blend. With the Dar Petroleum Brent in Maluth County. Now you opened up the fields in Unity, the open fields in Ruing, and recently they opened the fields in Trajas.
Yeah.
The economic activity of South Sudan has been hindering on just oil. The future of South Sudan is economic diversification and increased output. I'll give you an example. South Sudan, 75% of the land of South Sudan is arable and can be cultivated. 75%.
Mm.
And South Sudan, according to the United, the World Food Prize, South Sudan currently is one-third away from achieving food security. I'll give you the numbers. South Sudan needs 1.3 million metric tons of cereal a year to feed 12.2 million people. But it's only producing 465,000 metric tons, which means if we multiply 465 times 3, within 2-3 years, we can produce enough food surplus. Number one, we satisfy the local demand, and the surplus, we export it.
Mm.
And what happens now is we'll save money on hard currency because the problem we have is the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, they say kalam dollar.
It has become a commodity.
It's become a commodity. Why? Because there's no local production. So to your question, since 2011 till now, we've just been producing crude oil. We haven't had any local production. This is due in part to the conflict. People are being displaced and insecurity. But this is something we need to look at moving forward.
Yes. The president also mentioned that so far, according to him, South Sudan is trying to gain some kind of a trust among the international communities, more especially the International Monetary Fund, because the IMF a month or two ago at least gave money to South Sudan over $170 million US dollar. And this, according to the president, has also improved on the economy. The SSP have gained ground against the US dollar. So do you think the government need to put more effort in the financial management so that at least we can have faith on our system?
Exactly. So I'll say something. If you read the laws of South Sudan, the Public Finance Management Act, the Petroleum Management Act, there are very great laws. There's mechanism in place that guide the country and how to manage finances. Number one, trust is important in economy. The question is, how do you back your currency? The SSP is weak because we don't believe in the SSP.
Yeah.
You sell me a big dinar. No, I need dollar.
Yeah.
Why? But this is our local currency.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where even you go to a restaurant and they'll tell you, we don't take SSP. That's the local currency. So the economic policy is broken down into fiscal policy. Your fiscal policy is how you control your currency, how you ensure that your currency is strong. This deals with foreign exchanges, exporting, importing. That's monetary policy. Your fiscal policy, monetary is the one that deals with currency.
Yeah.
Your fiscal policy is how you spend as a government. How you spend. Do you have surpluses? Do you have deficits? What do you spend your money on? Is it on infrastructure? Is it on jobs? Is it on projects? What essentially needs to happen now is South Sudan needs to have robust public finance management mechanisms, which means that the budget is passed and it's followed accordingly. Meaning, if the parliament approves a budget, the minister of finance and all the cabinet ministers need to follow the budget exactly as they agreed to follow.
Mm.
And if they want to spend more, they need to pass supplementary budgets. This is important because when you want loans as a government, because nobody builds a country without loans.
Yeah.
Everybody needs loans. But for me to give you a loan, I need to know that you're going to pay me back.
Yeah.
I need trust. And what is the trust? The trust is how do you manage your own internal affairs? And this is something the president was talking about. They want to improve trust with international community. Why? Because in the future, if the president says we want to do one rows across South Sudan, all the 10 states and 3 administrative areas, and it's going to cost $5 billion. He may not have the money.
Yeah.
But if he goes to the World Bank, if he goes to the IMF, Afreximbank, Bank, any bank, they'll say, well, we can give you the money. You manage your affairs right. So
yeah.
This is the president he's talking about, saying that we need to start developing better relationships and trust because we can't use our own money to build roads. We have a collateral, which is crude. And by the way, South Sudan has the third largest oil reserves in sub-Saharan Africa. After, it's first in Nigeria, second
Angola.
Is Angola, and South Sudan. And 70 to 90% of our oil reserves have been untapped. And you can use that as collateral. Use that as collateral, number one, to develop industry. You're talking about building milling plants, building sesame oil factories, building all these things. It's going into infrastructure, improving local production. South Sudan is probably the most blessed country in the world. Why do I say that? We're the only country that, number one, we have agriculture. And this agriculture is not just one. We have gum arabic, we have sesame, we have sorghum, we have fruits, we have vegetables, we have cotton. South Sudan has cotton. The cotton in Anzara. If you go to Rang, people are cultivating gum arabic and sesame. Mm. You go to places in Sabah, there's corn. You go to Awil, there's rice. This is a country that's so blessed with abundance. You go to Eastern Equatoria, there's minerals.
That's in Magwe.
Yeah, Magwe. You go to Lake State, they're groundnuts. You know that South Sudan has some of the best groundnuts in the world.
Yeah.
So I tell people, these states that we don't want to go to, this is where the money is at. There's no money in Juba.
Now, what economic policy or factors explain this myth in South Sudan where the rate of the dollar has come down, or the pounds have gained ground against the USD, and still prices remains high in the market? What are the factors?
Okay, the factor is this. You have to. This is now you get into the business.
Mm.
You're a trader. Let's say you and I, we have a business.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say we bought flour in February. And the flour, we bought it when the dollar was 600.
Yeah.
And then the dollar went down a week later, and they're telling us to reduce the prices. We'd lose money. So you see, the issue is to change the price in the market, you do it through through trade policy. And how you do that essentially is the government can come in and say, hey, okay, what are key commodities? You can say flour, sugar, cooking oil, milk. You're going to say, okay, we're going to subsidize these things, meaning that you can import them without paying taxes. So the challenge is that a trader, you go to Konya Konya or Juba market, a trader will say, okay, I bought my flour in May when the dollar was 600,
yeah,
and that pricing, I haven't sold it yet. If I reduce it to the price where it's 350 or 400, I'm losing money. So it's an issue where traders themselves that feel as if that there's uncertainty because they're like, okay, if the dollar goes down again, I'm going to be lost. Let's say they go buy flour when the dollar is 400.
So how do we harmonize that?
I think the harmonization, it needs the central bank to work with the ministry. Okay, the short-term thing is the central bank works with the Ministry of Trade, Ministry of Finance, to identify where, even if it's necessary, the government to subsidize the losses, saying like, hey, you need to reduce your prices. But if you reduce your prices, we'll reduce your tax burden. The long-term plan is local production. Everything in this country comes to local production because people complain. Why? Flour, sugar, milk. We can produce flour, sugar, milk in South Sudan. Look at the cows in South Sudan are abundant.
Yeah.
The goats are abundant. So the issue is because we're importing everything, people need hard currency. But for example, if you have a milling plant in Numuli and you're making flour, the dollar doesn't affect you because you do everything in SSP.
Yeah.
You can do everything SSP. But if you're a trader and you buy the flour and you're waiting to sell in the market, you won't make your money. The issue is local production. If we improve local production, all these other factors will be improved.
Now, and as we clock, or we have already clocked because it's already coming to 3 p.m., 10 years already has gone. And we are embarking on another 10 years tonight at midnight. So what economic policies or tools should be applied in this country right now, whether it being macro or micro, in order to boost our economy, in order to at least alleviate people from the poverty line? Like according to the National Bureau of Standard, at least it is very high in this country, the poverty line, people living below poverty line. What economic policy should the government apply in order to improve on our productivity?
Mm-hmm. So for us to grow the economy, the most important thing in any economy is security. And security isn't just the army, the military, the police. Security is also economic security. People want to feel as if I do business, that there's going to be a market. What we need to do is there should be coordination between the national, the state, and the county governments, where every county has to start producing. Because the problem is people in the counties, there are people. There are the people who make us the money because everyone wants to come in Juba and stay in a hotel. No, you need to produce. The policy should be focused on improving local production and import substitution and export promotion, which means we identify commodities that South Sudan is producing locally. And we say within 5 years, we have to stop importing flour and sugar. We can say, for example, we're going to do the Mangala Sugar Factory. In the next couple of years, we have to stop importing coffee. When you do this, you're going to inject money into local economies because the counties that produce coffee, money's going to come in because traders will come buy coffee from them, give them money, and do this. Another thing we realize is that the hard currency that leaves the country, if you start building private schools in South Sudan, the same private schools that they have in Nairobi and Kampala, and you encourage people, come to South Sudan and send your kids to private schools and pay that money here.
In SSP,
you'll save millions of dollars because if you send your family to Kampala, you have to pay a rent.
You
have to send money. And this is in dollars. And this dollars is leaving the country. Now imagine this dollars, you take it to the bank, you get SSP, and you pay to a local school here. You'll be creating so much jobs. So we need to actually believe in ourselves as South Sudanese. We can get the job done. We have a lot of qualified people. And we can really make this country the best country in the continent in the next 10 years.
Yes. And finally, if you are to be appointed as an advisor, economic advisor to the president today, what kind of advice in terms of economic advice would you give him, given your knowledge on how our economy is dwindling and given all the factors you have mentioned? What kind of advice would you give in order to improve the economy of this country?
The first advice I would give him, I'll tell him, Mr. President, the same way you're allocating crude oil for projects, allocate 10% of crude for economic diversification, meaning 10% of every crude produced has to go invested in other sectors, agriculture, mining, tourism, fisheries. And you have to have a plan where In 5 years, we don't want to be a country that's reliant 90% on crude. Let's say from 90%, we want to be at 50%.
Mm-hmm.
The second advice I'll say is create a conducive environment for production. We need people to be productive. We need people to be productive. Our people cannot be sitting in Juba. We need to be going to the rural areas and being productive. So really coordinate with the state governments and the county governments and start demanding monthly and quarterly reports on what are you farming? What are you doing in your states? Because for us, if we don't have a strong economy, we can't pay salaries. We can't create jobs.
Mm.
If you don't have an economy, you can't build roads. But you start with how do we improve production? How do we improve local production in terms of food and different things? So and I was, the final thing I'll say is our people need to believe in themselves. We need to believe in this country. This is a blessed country. And until we start believing in this country, we're not going to go nowhere. We don't need to go to other places. Me, myself, I studied in the U.S. And I'll tell you this, I was blessed. But the future is in this country.
Thank you so much, Akol, York Akol, an economist. And it's a pleasure to have you here in our studio. We hope to talk to you some other time. Thank you very much and happy Independence Day to you.
Okay, thank you for having me.